control others has never really gone away. And as China rises, she will try to use her growing influence to reshape our global rules and institutions to better serve her interests. The reality is that there is little we can do to stop this. We cannot stop China from ratifying or refusing to ratify certain treaties. Nor will it be easy to counter the influence that comes from having thousands of highly educated lawyers at your disposal. Perhaps all that can be done is what smaller, less powerful states have always done: balance the power of a larger state by allying together. There is then a contradiction at the heart of international law. It enshrines the legal equality of states and offers protections to the weak and vulnerable. Yet our picture of international law would be incomplete without also seeing the plight of Aboriginal peoples who are still fighting for justice, or recognising that powerful states expressly attempt to make international law more favourable to their interests. Realists would say that the urge to control is eternal, and it affects every area of international life, not just the decision to maintain or increase military might, or to intervene in another country. Trade, aid, and law are all tools in the battle for survival and domination, and no state, no matter how big or powerful, can afford complacency. We would do well to remember the words of Thucydides: "The strong do what they can, and the weak suffer what they must."
Tonight's essay was presented by Adriana Sinclair and recorded at Radio 3's Free Thinking Festival at the Sage, Gateshead. The producer was Natalie Steed. In tomorrow's edition, new generation thinker Jonathan Healy questions the value of lessons learned from history. And don't forget, you can download all the Free Thinking talks and debates by going to the Radio 3 website. It's 11 o'clock and now on Radio 3 Late Junction with Max Reinhardt, taking us towards the small hours with, among other things, Max, I see a rude audio piece. Please explain.
You're going to be disappointed, but Rude Audio, Jonathan, are a South London musicians collective, and I'm going to be playing a remix done by a violin player and a viola player. Do they do remixes? Well, we'll see. But anyway, thanks, Jonathan.
Look forward to it.
And it's that time of the year again. Fireworks and witchy stuff are behind us. Tinsel and Pud is still a long way ahead, which leaves us space for the London Jazz Festival, which kicks off this very Friday, filling the capital with almost any conceivable variety of jazz. And woven through it all is the music and influence of its pioneering legends like John Coltrane. Now, he might have died 45 years ago, but his musical allies, such as Jacques Dejanet, his children such as Ravi Coltrane, and train-immersed combos such as Stoneface Stabbins are very much in evidence over the 10 nights of the Jazz Festival. So expect a train track each night on Late Junction this week, starting with this one, Giant Steps, from his 1960 breakthrough album of the same name. Listen out for his so-called sheets of sound technique and the kind of breakneck speed chord progression which to this day makes any sax player who can negotiate it successfully feel they can walk on the water. Talaki by Malagas guitar player Crisanto, making its radio debut there. It was recorded by my producer James Parkin and engineer James Birtwistle for Radio 3's World Roots on location at the Victory Hotel in Tuléar, southern Madagascar in September 2009. More Malagas music later and indeed more World Roots with Lucy Duran this Sunday evening at 10 o'clock. I'm Max Reinhardt. Welcome to Lake Junction here on BBC Radio 3. You can get in touch with us while we're on air. Just tweet us at BBC Radio 3 or text 83111 or email lake.junction@bbc.co.uk. Now, here's a band from Austin, Texas, who thoughtfully and caringly called themselves Heartless Bastards. And maybe that's just what they are, defiantly damaged goods, complete with strung-out vocals from Erica Venestrom. Here's Low, Low, Low.
Feeling the sunshine.
Wise Blood by South London's musicians collective Rude Audio, as remixed and reworked there by Geese, who are a duo formed by Emma Smith and Vince Ciprell from the Elysian String Quartet. And they gave me that CD on the train home from Oxford the other night. You can see the Elysians on their next collaboration adventure with Jason Yard and Andrew McCormack in London at the Gerwood Hall LSO St Luke's on Tuesday, 27th of November. Now, there's a lineup that sounds like a Late Junction session. Moving away from the contemporary for a moment, here's a 17th century gem, a cantata by German-Danish Baroque composer Dietrich Buxtehude, anchored throughout by a repeated, ever more extravagant descending sequence. The text is from Psalm 42, Quem ad modum desiderat servas, as the heart desireth. Thank you.
Thank you.
From his 1957 album, Sound of Joy, that was Sun Ra at the piano and electric piano, with Victor Sprolos on bass, William Cochran on drums and Jim Herndon on timpani, and probably finger cymbals and other items. As Sun Ra wrote, music has wings. It moves upon the wings of intuition and thought. Last month, I was lucky enough to be taken on a music-powered flight, a journey through the music of South Korea, and I'll be playing tracks by artists I heard performing in the theatres, tea rooms, parks and houses of the city of Seoul throughout this week on Lake Junction. In a moment, Jong Jung Dong. In English, Movement on Silence by Kumongo Factory, a quartet of young South Korean musicians who physically adapt traditional zither-like Kumongo instruments and make new music on those old instruments. But first, to put it into a wider context, here's a short, some might say mercifully short, piece from North, from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. It's from the much-vaunted collection of my producer, who tells me that music like this, along with martial music, is the non-stop soundtrack of North Korea. Bubbling out of bushes and roaring out of speakers, it follows you wherever you go. This is the somewhat ABBA-like Pochombo Electronic Ensemble performing Milyang Arirang, folk song from Milyang.
Chima
Centre of the Universe, featuring Easy with Astral Adjustments. Norwegian electronic musician Jørgen Skulstad is the man at the centre of the Centre of the Universe and observes that his inspiration is folk music and rhythmic excesses from all over the world. And there, of course, you heard him coming to grips with Balkan melodies and an oscillator or two. I'm Max Reinhardt and you're listening to Late Junction on BBC Radio 3. For full details of all the music I'm playing tonight, you can visit our Late Junction homepage online via the BBC Radio 3 webpages. Our playlists actually appear in full after this programme, and if you can't wait till then, just ask us direct. Tweet at BBC Radio 3 or text 83111 or email late.junction@bbc.co.uk. And of course, you can listen again to this programme whenever you wish over the next 7 days by following the Late Junction links you'll find at www.bbc.co.uk. Chapelier Fou apparently translates from the French as Mad Hatter, and in this case it also means a one-man band, the man in question being Louis Varinsky. From his fine new album Invisible, this is Fritz Lang, his homage to the pioneering German expressionist film director who fled the Third Reich in 1934, hours after Joseph Goebbels had asked him to become head of his film studios. Thank you.
Thank you.
Olivier Messiaen's Le Merle Noir, The Blackbird for flute and piano, with Philippe Bernot on flute and Alexandre Tarot on piano. Messiaen was, of course, always fascinated by birdsong, and The Blackbird was apparently one of his favourites. As you could hear, he knew its song well. More guitar music from Madagascar now. It's Jean-Emilien playing the partially fretted Malagasy baby guitar, the cabosse, to which he has added a fifth string on the low end. Oh, and he's blowing the reeds out of his harmonica and singing to boot on this tune, Mi Andraza.
Thank you. Thank you.
Maya Homburger on baroque violin and Barry Guy on double bass performing Condensation Towards Yellow 7, the conclusion of Guy's suite, homage to Max Bill, the Swiss architect, artist and graphic designer, who's well worth a Google. I'd never heard of him before. Before that, Melanie Pain sang some nouveau chanson, How Bad Can I Be, from her soon-to-be-released album Bye Bye Manchester. You can catch her live with the band from whence she sprang, Nouvelle Vague, on Friday, 16th November at Hammersmith Apollo. Or you can wait for her solo show in December, which takes in Manchester on the 5th, Leeds on the 6th, London on the 7th and Bristol on the 8th. Nymataloma Sublateritium by Australian sound artist Lawrence English from his album Four Not Four, John Cage, which he describes as a humble tip of the hat to a mind that has sought to sow many a seed amongst us all. It's now for us to water those seeds and tend the soil in which they sit. That was but one drop of that water. Before that, I played Echo Hands, a track that brought together two favourite electronica artists, Stockholm's analogue-obsessed duo Roll the Dice and Germany's electronic wizard Pole. Here's another trio of visionaries, Scottish-based folk alchemist Lau, featuring alien accordion maestro Martin Green, master fiddler from Oban, Aidan O'Rourke, and Orcadian guitarist, singer-songwriter Chris Drever. Their new album, Race the Loser, has been deservedly pulling in rave reviews from anybody who hears it. From it, here's Far From Portland.
Thank you.
Far From Portland by Lau, who leave Edinburgh tomorrow morning on a 12-day tour which visits towns and cities all over England, from Leeds to Exeter. And that's it from Lake Junction tonight. Thanks for listening, and now you can go and follow the election results in just a moment, Through the Night, with John Shea. Good night.
I'm John Shea, and welcome once again to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. To begin this morning, another instalment in the complete Beethoven Symphony Cycle by the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra and conductor Douglas Boyd, which they gave in August last year. And it's another contrasting pair, numbers 7 and 8, but in reverse order. Beethoven himself once said that the 7th was one of his great symphonies, but that number 8 was actually the better work. In the 7th, says David Cairns, the artist is a god harnessing the elements, but number 8 in F, which we'll hear now, he says, is a kind of self-portrait of the composer in his humours, warts and all, at once explosive and comical.